Eric Rock is a visionary coach, and he has had the most incredible portfolio from retail development, athlete, his own company in the furniture world, to now being a speaker and a coach as well. What was Eric Rock when he was a little boy?
I was like Cinderella in my own family. And for years, I resented that. I had a stepfather that was incredibly hard on me, but he was not that hard on his son, his biological son. But so much of the instincts in me were trying to impress him, trying to be loved, trying to fit in, be part of the family. And it created a unique work ethic in me. I don't know if I was born with this. I think I might have created this obsessive nature that I learned to leverage. And that's the thing that kept me winning and staying in the fight when most people quit. I was a fighter at a young age. I was fighting for something. Point is this, is like, it's only now that I've forgiven and I realized what a gift it actually was. Like, what am I complaining for? That created the tenacity in me. That created the fighter in me. But really, like, it gave me the heart that I have, the capacity to want to do something profound with my life. It comes from that little child, and that carried me to making a lot of money. I made a lot of money and had a lot of win, probably because of that alone. It wasn't because I was smart. It wasn't because I was that talented. It was because I was an obsessive fighter.
If you were to give the key, that one key to finish off this amazing episode, what would that be? Hello, my queens. Welcome back with Keys to the Queendom. I'm your host, Tamara Meyer, and this is a really different way. I'm actually now introducing guest speakers because, one, I just love beginning and having a conversation with them. Two, the chit-chat before is always a golden nugget, and when you do an intro in front of a guest speaker, it's really funny. But I wanted to drop this episode in, which is number 92. Can you believe I am 8 episodes away from 100 episodes. Oh my goodness. I'm so happy. I'm a bit emotional about it because I'm actually here in Melbourne now. I'm about to do a guest speaker in person with Stephanie Sanzo, which will be the week after this. And I'm just in awe. You know, I've worked so incredibly hard for where I'm at right now. And it just goes to show that when you put in the work, magic will happen. And yeah, like I just had an incredible interview with Eric Rock, who is going to be sharing his incredible journey on building a personal brand, authenticity, and also how his career evolvement happened. So Eric Rock is a visionary coach, and he has had the most incredible portfolio from retail development, athlete, you know, his own company in the furniture world, to now being a speaker and a coach as well. And one amazing thing I want you guys to know, he is so fucking like authentic, so authentic in what he does. And he really spoke really beautifully about his father and the need to seek validation and how he's just really gone all in when it comes to embracing fear and building a personal brand from this authentic place. He is so kind. He's so generous, and he is honestly one of the most amazing humans I've virtually met. So if you haven't followed him, please make sure you do. But one big thing I really want to bring in before we dive into this episode is this: your personal brand is your opportunity to speak your truth. This is where you get to show up authentically as yourself and be a point of difference because of your story, because of your truth. And here's something, queen, that you need to know right now. You are actually doing a disservice if you are keeping your story in. So it's time for you guys now to really lean into like what it would look like for you to step into this version of yourself, to speak your story, to share your story, and to start showing up every day online, no matter what's going on in your life, and to be of service. Because at the end of the day, this is not about us anymore. It's about the greater good. It's about creating impact. It's about building a legacy and building our empire from this authentic place, which is love. Now, without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode, queen, and I look forward to next week's episode. This is episode 92 with Eric Rock. Eric Rock, welcome to Keys to the Queendom, my friend. It's so good to have you here.
No, thank you. amazing to be here.
You were just going, I think you came from the gym and you raced home. It's honestly an honor because, one, we were just talking about being obsessed with what we do. We're entrepreneurs. We're hungry for success. We're hungry to help and serve people. And just the fact that you've made it on this show for myself just goes to show that you are someone that's very giving and very kind and compassionate and obsessive in what you do. Tell me more about that, because we had a beautiful moment where we spoke about projection and people, you know, feeding into like playing small. And for us, we are obsessed of what you do. So tell us more about the obsession you have and what you're here to do.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And thanks for having me, because so I'm in North Idaho now. I just came from California and I've traveled probably pretty consistently for like the last 2.5-3 months. So this is the first day I've been home to my primary residence. This is the first day I've been home in about 2.5 months. So like you're catching me right when I'm like remembering how beautiful it is to live here and all the cool things. So, and you are in Australia.
I am in Melbourne. So wow.
Yeah. So you're in the future. So this is cool. Yeah. So to meet up, it takes a, definitely takes a commitment, but I love committing to people like you. You're someone that I see that is out in the world, stepping up to the barbarians and all the people that are going to project all their insecurities on you, but you're also going to step up to people that need to hear your voice, that are dying for to have a leader step up and say something, do something, be something that they can follow in the footsteps of. So I admire people like that, because what you do takes great courage. And just speaking of projection, so much of I think what I'm doing now really had me confronting my biggest dragon, my greatest fear. And it was really the light. Stepping into the light is something that it seems subtle. It gets brushed off as no big deal. But I'll be honest, I've spoken on probably 100 stages in the last year alone. And prior to that, I had not gone on a stage in 10 years. It had been almost a decade since I've been on stage, because I had such a terrible experience with it. Even though I appeared to have crushed it, I knew in my heart I failed, because thank God I had written my speech out. Because I read it word for word, and thank God there was a podium. But I knew in my heart, I wasn't meant to do this. I wasn't meant to step into the light. I wasn't meant to impact the world. The people that do this, they must be born for this. So that's the story I told myself. It's the lie I created over a decade ago. So to be doing this work now, at the core of the whole thing, I'll just start with this whole point. I had to really confront probably my greatest fear, and I think it's probably a lot of your listeners' greatest fear, is this reality that we are so geared and so afraid of what people think that we stay small, we stay unseen, we don't raise our voice. We may do it in meaningless ways like gossip or act like we're doing something that's profound here or there, but really we shy away from the light. And it's one of these things that I'll just slip in there early in the show. This is probably one of the greatest life hacks to moving forward in life. And that's not why people do it that do it. But let me be here to tell you, this is probably one of the biggest secrets to life. And if you study the best in the world, the best in class, all of them have been performing in the light for their entire careers. The Warren Buffetts, the Walt Disneys, the Steve Jobs. It doesn't matter what industry it's in, whether you're an athlete or celebrity. You have got to be consistent with stepping the light, knowing that people are going to talk shit about you. They're going to throw mud at you. They're going to gossip about you. And that fear that we have, the second we even hear it, it'll freeze us. It'll absolutely paralyze us. Nobody's immune to it. And this is one of these unique things that I've stumbled upon. People's projections will literally have us slaves the rest of our lives. So this is me battling with it as I do this podcast, as I force myself and systematize stages around the world. This is my commitment to doing the work that I'm actually most afraid of, and where it's led me is to God. It literally has led me to the best version of myself, who's ready to die. If I have to die, I kind of felt like I left it all on the table. So
it's humbling, just because to bring forward your fears and still embracing it, it's a big thing, you know, leaning into it and doing it. And thank you for being here. You know, the projection thing is a thing that comes up a lot around my queens at the moment. But just to hear from someone like yourself who's built this incredible empire, and we're going to go through a bit of your story in a second, but it's humbling to hear that we still are able to witness yourself who have fears and you're still able to, you know, project that and speak about that. So I really appreciate that. And we have a bit of a relatable story, similar story. Like, you've come from an interesting upbringing as well. I think that's why you and I connected on Instagram. But for the listeners who may not know what your story is, what was your life growing up like? What was Eric Rock when he was a little boy? What did he experience? What did he traverse through?
Yeah, I think some of the most amazing people I've ever met, ones that have great energies and great auras, there's always been something that I feel when I'm around those types of people. And at the core of some of the best people I've ever met is always a story of pain that somehow is transferred into purpose. Those are the people that I seek out now. Those are the people that I want to invest in. Those are the people that really, I think, leave a profound mark on this world. And I would have never thought my story was that unique in that it wasn't like it could have been way worse. But as a child, I was dying to be seen. I was a child of a single mother. My biological father split from my mom when she was pregnant with me. And I think she was basically a teenager, 19 years old. So coming into the world with no father had a profound effect on how I communicate, how I see the world, how I talk. It really is. I can trace so many things back to that child that is still inside me. And now that I do this work, I'm so aware of people when I talk to them that there's a little girl inside you. There's a little boy inside that guy. There's a little girl over here, here, here. Everywhere I go, I see a little boy, a little child inside a person. And the thing that's interesting is if you can figure out how to speak to that person, that kid, that child, the one that needs to be healed, the ones that needs to forgive, the one that needs to be forgiven, whatever it is, whatever the issue is, like likely that's where the greatest breakthroughs can happen. And usually it's the people that have found a way to heal that child's problem that have the greatest impacts in the world. But I'll be honest in saying so much of the momentum and the wins my whole life came from leveraging that little kid who was all fucked up in the head. It was hard. My existence was hard for me. Now, it could have been worse. I could have been raped as a little boy. There could have been a slave as a child. But the truth of my reality was I was like Cinderella in my own family. And for years, I resented that. I had a stepfather that was incredibly hard on me, but he was not that hard on his son, his biological son. He was a year older than me. My stepdad who became my dad, and now I highly respect. But at the time, I get why you might not have instantly had that bond with the stepchild that you did with your own kid. But for me, I was just seeking that father. Like, I didn't know it. I wouldn't have described it. But so much of the instincts in me were trying to impress him, trying to be loved, trying to fit in, be part of the family. And it created a unique work ethic in me, a very, very, I don't know if I was born with this. I think I might have created this obsessive nature that I learned to leverage. And that's the thing that kept me winning and staying in the fight when most people quit. I was leveraging that deep pain, and it was true. My reality as Cinderella in our family was so unique. I had a little sister that was born who was like 10 years younger than me, who was like the angel of the family, an older brother who was my stepbrother, who was my dad's son, and then there's me. And that harsh reality that I always kind of describe Cinderella is like, for so many years, I resented it. I had all these chips on my shoulder that made me want to say fuck you to everyone. It kept me fighting. I was a fighter at a young age. I was fighting for something. And it's only like now I just softened the blow with all this harsh talk now. But the reality is like, Cinderella was beautiful. She had a lot of grace. All the animals loved her. She was very classy. I don't know if I'd want to be like Drizella and the evil stepsisters who were tacky. Point is this, is like, it's only now that I've forgiven and I realized what a gift it actually was. Like, what am I complaining for? Yeah. That created the tenacity in me. That created the fighter in me. It gave me the heart that I have, the capacity to want to do something profound with my life. It comes from that little child, and that carried me to making a lot of money. I made a lot of money and had a lot of wins. I could get where I wanted to go if I set my target set, probably because of that alone. It wasn't because I was smart. It wasn't because I was that talented. It was because I was an obsessive fighter. But the real money for me is I connect to what I'm doing now, this next chapter of my life, this next season of my life, is I've turned that pain and those chips on my shoulder into a real mission, into real purpose, and a real forgiveness and love. And that's where I'm really dangerous in life. And it's those people that get there in life, if you can get there and let mission be in the guiding lights as you build an empire of momentum around you and demand and you build big brands, if you can connect to mission and sort of like that higher power that always guides you, it makes you a very dangerous human in life. And I think just connecting the child in me that was a little bit messed up to where I'm at now, it's this harmonious cycle. But I see it in you. I see it in some of the best people I've ever met. This is the money in people, is figuring out where and how to turn all that stuff that kept you different from everyone else, how you were leveraging, into real purpose. Because it's not enough to just have chips on your shoulder, although that can take you. I think it can take you to the number one in the world in some cases. You can leverage pain all the way to the top spot, but it's not enough to get you to God. And that's sort of this next evolution of where I've connected the dots now.
So Do you still speak to your father? Was that something just recently you guys have connected?
He's always been around. You know, my dad was someone I was always deeply afraid of. I was scared of him most of my life. He doesn't even probably know how scared I was of him, because I always was acting on my tippy toes around him. But he did. He had a profound effect in my life. And it's hard to say this now. I thought, should I say all this shit? It's not hurting him. Like, he, me and him are great now. But he was a kid when he had me. He didn't even know who he was. Like, you know, you think about parents now, I have a little bit of grace. He was just tough on me. Tough is tough. And so how I saw it as a little boy, whether it was right or wrong, doesn't matter. It was real pain for me. So no, all those years, he's the only one I cared about. I wanted to present every win, every report card. Every time I did something good, I was like, Dad, do you see it? Do you see me winning? Do you think I'm valuable now? And I think it was the perception of it was probably misread for so many years, that I was an arrogant, that I was cocky. I had a little swagger because I had a chip on my shoulder. And I was a gym rat, so I was an athlete, but it never impressed him. It felt like to me, he never saw me ever. And it was like, I was chasing something I was never going to get. And that kept me moving forward. But no, that actually was the gift. I'm completely healed with him now. I felt like I had enough hard conversations with him where I gave him my heart and I finally told him the truth, and I just forgave him. And I'm not even bitter about it, but I realize there's a lot of other people out there that are hanging on to things, and they haven't figured out how to turn it into love yet. It's still like this, you know what I mean? The fuck you energy is good, but it is not enough to get you to the most powerful version of yourself.
Yeah, it's powerful what you just said, because the pain is the driving force, but then there's almost an element of like, I need you to be proud of me. But then once you reach that higher level, which you spoke about, which is basically mission and work from a place of love, that's where the magic happens. That's when you build your personal brand, and that's where you make impact. That just hit home for me. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I don't have a really good relationship with my father, so hearing that, it's nice because forgiveness has been done. But I think what has been the turning point for a lot of people is just having that realization that you don't need to work from that place anymore. Do you give advice to anyone when it comes to navigating that, like that transition? Like just, you know, when you're at that point of like, going into the love, like what was the event for you that you were like, wow, okay.
Yeah. You know, the honest truth was I made an investment in someone I greatly admired. It was the first time in my life I'd ever made an investment really in myself, outside of sort of my core business, outside of real estate, outside of the things that made me money. I finally made an investment in someone else that I realized was going to hold a very unique mirror to my face. And I happened to be someone that I looked up to as a hero. Ed Mylett was the first mentor I ever brought into my life. And when I hired him, he asked me 3 or 4 profound questions that just kind of left me sitting there feeling embarrassed, very blank on my face, because I didn't really have good answers. And for me, what I realized in that moment also is the second I put money on a guy like me, like that's dangerous for someone like me. If I put money on me, watch how I transform. I'll probably be the most coachable person in the world, because now I have skin in the game. I worked so hard for that money, and that was expensive. Ed's one of the most expensive mentors money can buy. I mean, like I think I calculated at some point, like you're paying like $40,000 an hour. Like it just gets pricey when you're going into that arena. And the main point is that, so now I had money on it. I'm around this unique energy of someone that was doing something that I could never imagine. But some reason I was there. I made a commitment, and it was charity, believe it or not, that connected me to that, even that opportunity to even get coached by him. So I was already there. I was already invested. I was already sort of committed. And Ed basically asked me, he goes, what's your mission? What's your purpose? Why are you here? And he said, what's your brand? Do you have a brand? And the truth is, like, I built brands, I built companies, but the way he asked it, I didn't have a good answer. Was it furniture? Was it my core business that I've been working over the last decade? Was it jewelry? I own retail stores, so I own real estate. I was in some land development at the time. My network and my foundation was built and strong, and kind of gave me options to do whatever I wanted. And here's this guy who I admire, just like a half-assed question, saying, "What's your brand?" And I'm like, "What's your purpose? What's your mission?" I just win. Like, you can't just tell a guy like MLA, like, oh, I just make money and win.
Yeah.
Like, it just, so it hit me hard, and it really started getting me to dig deep. And where I connected was that sort of that reality, that mirror that I needed at that point in my life. I'd started connecting it to all the most powerful things that ever happened to me, all my deepest emotions, all my greatest fears, especially my greatest fears. I was afraid of death. My grandma had passed away and that had really rocked my world a few years earlier. I don't know why, but I started obsessing over what does my life mean and what is the point of all this? It really was kind of earth shattering because for so long I put death so far out in the future and I just worked my ass off. I was always a workhorse. So that really helped me bring that to the surface. And I started pursuing scary things very quickly that mimicked the guy I just invested in. I said, well, if I'm here, I'm just going to do what you do. I'm going to literally build a foundation around similar things and force myself into the light at first, really not knowing what I was really after, in all honesty, just knowing I needed to do something scary and bold. And that brought me to that little child who was so afraid of the light. But the reason he was like you there was probably for the wrong reasons. It was probably just to be seen for the sake of being seen, because I was there to prove everyone that I made it. So fuck all you motherfuckers. Like, that is literally how, what drove me my whole life is I'm going to win and you're going to watch me win, because no one believed in me. Like, I was just was my reality. It was my energy. And that made me confront all that. And I realized none of that will get me over the edge of my insecurities. I have to hold on to something more, because my insecurities are going to stop me every time. Even when I post on social media, I hate it. Like, I'm always like, don't do it. Grandma's going to think you're arrogant. Like, I have these insecurities that people are going to think my energy is tacky and, you know, but I, you know, I'm also a business guy. I realize what breaks the algorithm, what's going to stop the scroll and get people to back up and zoom in. Like, I'm not dumb. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it with heart conviction, but I'm also smart. But it's sort of that fear that historically would have stopped me dead in my tracks. I wouldn't have done it. But what helps me now is mission. So I know there's a little boy out there that I might help. There may be one guy out there that I save his life because he didn't realize he has cancer. And now I'm working with him. He just got a blood test that he would have never gotten because of me. Like, somehow, even dumb stuff like that, that happened. Little dumb things can change someone's life. And that gives me fulfillment that money never gave me. And that's what I'm hooked on now. The ROI of everything I'm doing is not money. The return on the investment I want now, because I don't need money. I got my life the way I want it. It's a passive lifestyle. I could keep growing it if I want. What I'm after now is impact. And it's that impact that fuels the ROI. That's now what I've realized I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life for. And the second you find purpose, it softens the fear of death. It allows me to know that if I got it, cancer, I'm going to turn this into the most heroic story to write to my deathbed. And I'm going to speak to all those Eric Rocks out there that feel alone, that feel unseen, that are dying for something, for someone like me to step in their life. And maybe I could be like Ed Milet to a bunch of people. I don't know. But somehow that makes me feel like I did my work on this planet. I did God's work while I was here. And now I can get to the end and say, I left it all on the table. So I'm happy. And I lived in my highest and best use. Like, physically, I'm body, like a rock solid, disciplined human. Like, I am what I preach. I live and die this way. Like, this is who the fuck I am. I feel so proud of that I no longer have to pretend I'm someone I'm not. I don't have to curate my words. I just give it how it is, and it works. It works really in profound ways. But those insecurities historically would stop me.
Queen, how often have you said, I spent my whole life studying, I've been to school my whole life, and I've actually learned nothing that teaches me the tools and strategies to build a successful business in the outside world? You've probably spent thousands of dollars on courses, or you've heard fake news from business gurus. Well, I'm here to give this incredible news to everyone here right now that this is Queen Stream University. Get out of debt and actually start making money in the online space, knowing and having the foundations to build a successful business. Now, I'm talking because I have gone through the trenches. I have been a fitness coach, built my online business as a pro athlete, and now I am a business coach. You'll go from having absolutely no idea what your business is through, in the 8 weeks, learn the foundations of knowing what your purpose is, your vision and mission, and also understanding your business values with the execution to know what that business is. You'll also learn branding, social media, content strategy, marketing, and more importantly, how to sell. With Queen Stream University, it'll cut out the bullshit and remove all the fluff and get you working specifically on your business so you can execute this in 8 weeks to get ready to launch. I wanted you to have something where you get to access something straight away, where you get to fast track your growth, as well as remove any doubt, any overwhelming sensation or stress, or the question that everyone seems to ask, where do I begin? With QueerStream University, you'll be able to build wealth, freedom, and at the end of the day, be an entrepreneur and be able to say, I have finally built my own thing, my own business. And I've stopped making money for someone else, and I'm now making money for my own empire. QueerStream University. Yeah, and Eric, I really resonate because, by the way, Ed Milet, I would shit myself if I was asked those questions. Like, he would be an amazing mentor to have. And I found you through him on his podcast. So it's really nice to hear that you really work towards having him as a mentor. And your career evolvement is insane. Like retail development, like from all the things you've done, where was the pinnacle point where you became a coach, visionary for you?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting. It was such a hard decision to sort of reallocate my time out of the day-to-day operations and start committing to this kind of fantasy that everyone thought was a joke. Even me, kind of, I questioned it. There would be so many days like, what? This takes so much. You know, anytime I've ever done anything, it always takes 10 times more resources, 10 times more money, and 10 times more time than I originally thought it was going to. And it's just the way it works. If you think it's going to take X, it's going to take 10X. It just is. So the second I start investing all this time and money and energy, I mean, it started with a podcast, and then let me do the whole infrastructure of what the people I admire doing in this personal development space, where impact was clearly the lane that I was going in, was in this space. I was a great leader. I was young. I had charisma. I had a lot of energy. It was clear I had to build this personal brand that was going to sort of be the pinnacle to all my other companies, all the other, even future companies that have not been created yet. No longer are those leading the way. Now it's personal brand that is the spearhead, and all the foundation behind it. I feed anything I want through my mission, my message, my heart, my story, through all of it, for fitness, all the domains of life, relationships. I love to go wide when I coach. I love it. And I think I've earned the right. Many people stay in a narrow lane. I love to talk about all the things, but that sort of unique pinpoint is what feeds this wide base that now I can cover all these companies in. I can build culture and I can build it. So it makes sense business-wise, number one. But at first, you don't see that. At first, you see yourself as your time being traded for something that you don't necessarily know if the ROI makes sense. And who's going to do something that just bleeds money? If it doesn't survive as a business, it will die so fast. And no matter how much mission you put behind or love, you have to treat things like a business, because it's just the laws of the universe. Gravity will drain you if you let it. So you have to start thinking, okay, how is this sustainable? And that's where the business wheels turn. But when I transitioned out of it, I think honestly the hardest part was leaving all the people that relied on me to go pursue this new dream. And now they're watching me and they're thinking, oh, he just burned me. All the imposter thoughts, oh, look at him on jets, you know, or all the things I was leveraging to try to build the brand, to try to build the audience, to try to capture a little bit of eyeballs so that they could digest my heart, my real message. But I knew I had to stop them, right? All those projections actually were probably the thing that almost stopped me the most. You have to work through all of these things about what are people going to think? How are they going to respond? And that will scare most people and they won't do it, because you have to bear your soul to the world to be effective. If you can't dig so deep in your soul and be authentic, nobody's going to trust you. Their spidey senses will call you a fraud in 2 seconds. Yeah. And sometimes frauds still break through. You have to be super aware of this. So it was so challenging to commit to this, because I knew if I was going to do it right, I had to literally leave the day-to-day operations of all the businesses I ever created and commit 100% of my soul to this. And it was Ed Milet that helped curate that reality. He goes, you want to do this right? Get ready to live and die doing it, brother. You're going to have to, or you'll never break through. It'll be lost in vanity. And I said, oh my God, I have to commit my life and death to this? Like, yeah, you do. So.
And here you are, right? Best decision.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm happy now. I have fulfillment, and it's because impact gave me a gift that I'd felt only at a small wins here or there. You know, a young employee that worked for me one time is a prime example. His mom died of a heroin overdose. Just use your young kids that work for me. They move furniture. the fulfillment I get about putting my hand around some of these young bucks and being a leader for them and showing them like what kind of man they should be with character and conviction and how to love and how to give, I could do that behind the scenes very easily. I already had sort of that heart and those gifts. I was just so afraid to do it in the light. And so it was, I mean, it's really that those were my moments of the greatest fulfillment, was knowing that I had an impact somewhere, that I actually mattered. I don't know why that mattered so much to me. Again, it's probably the child that needed that, but that's where I felt where I had real value doing it out in front of the barbarians, as I always say, that, because it feels like they're going to kill you. That's why it feels so scary. Yeah. It's ancestral, really. But that is one of the things that I had to confront most, is like the fear of doing it out loud. But I'd already really been doing it little places here or there. Now I'm trying to do it more at scale and out in the light in a profound way. So I don't know if you feel that as you step out in the light, but
I'm in it now. Like, I'm in it now, Eric. I'm about to do my first event here in Australia, and I said it online. I'm like, I'm doing it, putting it out there, because I'm very big on what you spoke about before. It's the embodiment, right? Like, do the work yourself. Don't just talk the talk, walk it. And for me, yeah. I talk about playing big, but playing big is all parts. You know, a queen is someone that is a leader, is vulnerable, is courageous, and is someone that serves. And for me, if I'm putting out this playing big energy, I've got to fucking do it. So yeah, I feel you. I'm really, and the thing is, as you said before, fake it till you make it, for me, has been so changed, which is now fake it till you become it, because you can actually feel when people are fake and pretending. So I just love watching a discipline with fitness. I love the way you speak to people, how committed you are. That to me speaks impact. And that to me makes me want to go, I want to work with that person, because you are living and breathing everything you're doing. So
I feel that with you too. I do. And yay. You're doing an event. I'd love to support it, put some love on it. What's the event for? Do you mind just telling me, just so I'm aware?
Yeah, it's called Show Up, Sell and Scale, because my message is about showing up authentically and building a personal brand and selling through storytelling. So that's been my biggest thing, the three components of what's helped me build my business and be sort of a point of difference, because I think you can feel when people are manipulating you through sales, but how you set yourself apart is people's stories. And that's what the event's about. So
very cool. Yeah. If I can help you, I would love to love on you and support it. And yeah, you're definitely someone I would put money on. You're a stock I would buy.
Oh my goodness. You're so sweet.
Seriously, for real.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of these just because my time's tight. But you, I wanted to say yes to, because I see you as a shining star.
Thank you. I'm going to probably cry very soon. So thank you. That's so sweet. it's just, as you said before, like the fear that you're made for something more. And I think that until you feel into just going all in, even though the outcome may not be certain, it's the certainty you have in yourself on the mission that you're here to provide.
Yeah.
And I think you said it before, like when you made that decision to be that visionary coach, it was like, fuck it, I'm going for it. Live or die. And you're, like I see that in you and I feel that in you, because I think it's authentic and it's what I'm preaching, you know. And this brings me to the next thing around authenticity and personal brand. Like, what's your, like, what are your, like, what do you look for when it comes to personal branding? Like, what's the advice you give to people? Because everyone comes to me for it, but it's nice to hear people like yourself, like things like Man on a Mission, like the Barbarians, like these are all your languages. This is your personality. And
Dragons.
I use dragons
a lot. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm going to tell you a couple stories to fit in with really what you teach. And I'll show you how effective storytelling is. I'll do it right for your audience with you. But I'll just start really quick by saying one point that I thought was really profound is when I was building my mission, I'd never really gone through the official process of what mission meant. I didn't know how many words it should be. You know, my mission, I wanted to get everything in there. And I realized like the best missions in the world, if you think through the lens of a company, they're very tight. They're not a lot of words. They're very witty and they're easy for anyone to remember. And I have a dear friend who's a billionaire, and he owns a hotel, a boutique hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas. And when he bought the hotel in bankruptcy, it was brand new hotel being built by the Chinese that somehow went into bankruptcy. He was the only guy that cried a check. He got it for a steal. And he started building this hotel, and he realized really quickly how hard it is to do a hotel, a boutique hotel in Las Vegas. So real quick, he hired this guy that was like one of the best marketing minds in the world to come in. He said, here's the keys to the hotel. Tell me how to do it. Because he wasn't even in the hotel industry. This was like almost like a toy for this guy, my partner. He's a partner of mine now, dear friend, like a family member. So he gives this hotel to this guy. He goes, you're in charge. I thought it was really interesting what he told me. He said the very first thing he did is he went into the marketing department. He started interviewing every single person in there. He ended up laying off half the management staff, let them all off. He gutted the whole business. Wow. This guy now who's taken over the shop cuts half the staff. And the first thing he does with the people that are left, he brings them into a room and he says, together today, we are going to establish our mission for this company. And I think any personal brand, the spearhead of the whole thing is knowing why you're doing this and being very clear on it. Now, here's how important it is. They, as a group, came up with the mission of what this hotel was going to be about in Las Vegas. And from there, the management's job was to go teach every employee in the hotel all the way down to the janitor. They had 1 week to ingrain it in their heads. And on top of that, they were going to challenge the people to think about what their own personal mission in life is. Now, this out of everywhere you could start in a hotel to build a brand, they start with mission. This hit me really good because I was already in the building of Man on a Mission, right? It was in the name of my company. It was in the name of my coaching groups, my in-person, my events, my mastermind that I do, my podcast. So I already had it, but I didn't know what mission was. Even though it was in the title, I never really understood it to its core. And so he told me that and he said, what they did is the guy went in and did a secret audit with secret shoppers. And he would go up to a janitor, someone random, and say, hey, what's your mission of your company? And the whole key was, will every employee will ever be able to remember it, recite it right off their lips?
Yeah.
And so in the process of hearing out of all the things the best in the world do, it started clicking to me. I thought, well, what's Walt Disney, who is someone that I greatly admire? Walt Disney, not the company, Walt Disney, the man who passed away in the 1950s. Walt Disney's whole mission was to transform the world through storytelling, similar to what you teach, right? Very powerful. I just realized how simple mission actually is. It doesn't need to be complex. And when I started getting my mission together, I had a unique idea. I thought, could my mission be a visual representation? Meaning, could it be a picture? Could the picture be my mission? And one of the things I realized even at that point in my life was I love this whole idea of me stepping up to my scariest dragons, the ones I'm most afraid of, the ones with the fangs and the poisonous mouth. Being able to step up to that with courage is what I was trying to embody in the heart and soul of my mission. But I knew where I wanted it to affect. I wanted it to affect children. I wanted the byproduct of my mission to help innocence, to help protect innocence. Yeah. It was hard though. I couldn't say it all in my mission. So I realized, oh wow, that's what vision is for. So you have a mission and you have a vision. So my mission basically in a nutshell is together we slay dragons. I fought so hard over that one word, but there's where this visual representation pops up. Together we slay dragons and max out our God-given potential. So if I could get a person alongside me to step up to their greatest dragons, their greatest fears, and I could get that person to max out their God-given potential, I am convinced that the butterfly effect of that will support my vision, which is to protect innocence. See how I'm connecting these profound dots, but it's a picture now. I wish I had one on me. I could show you, but it is literally a knight pulling a sword out like this, and he's confronting this big, massive dragon, and it's so gnarly. So my mission is actually a picture. It's pretty cool, but
again, it goes to personal branding, you know, and it's iconic. It's what you're known for, and it's that simplicity, but it's so effective. Yeah. And that I think a lot of people do overcomplicate it when it comes to branding and building a personal brand. So just to hear that alone, and it's just going back to mission, you know.
Totally, mission, I mean, yeah.
No one knows what that is. Well, not many people do know. And the fact that Ed Milet even said to you, what's your mission, what's your purpose? Yeah, that feels good. And so for anyone listening, if you were to bring in like the three key things to build a brand for anyone that's new, what would be like your top three hacks?
Hey, beautiful kings and queens, are you right now in a space where you're ready to take action and build your business, yet you struggle where to begin? You're feeling stuck and overwhelmed with all the things you need to do when it comes to building a business. Build the business of your dreams in the online space and be in the arena of all the incredible, great humans out there that are building 7 to 8 figure businesses. Now, the foundations that I truly believe in that you are going to learn through this membership is sales, marketing, content creation, social media, money mindset, and of course, branding. Now, all of this will be accessible for you to be learning what is currently hot right now in the market and how you can create your own business and build a successful business in the online space. All you have to do right now is DM Empire in my Instagram or email myself and my team, and we will get the ball rolling so you can have your empire and start making moves in the online space.
Well, it's funny you say three. So one thing I always go to things that I, yes, yeah. I always go to things I see as consistent patterns, and then I try to apply them to sort of the foundation, the infrastructure that you could actually start building practically. But the reality is this, is some of the greatest people I've ever been around, and it sort of validates some of my own instincts, but now I have a framework to teach it, guide it, help curate it. And there's one thing that I kept noticing as time went on is that all the great ones, they have a deep pain that's inside them that they've leveraged. So that's number one. Number two, I'm always aware of some of the greatest people I've ever met. They're so aware of time. Time is this important aspect. They're very, very, very close with the reality that time is precious and they may not be here tomorrow. They've systematized that in how they make decisions. So it's time and death. They systematize death into their daily reality, not to stop them, but to propel them forward. And then the last piece is the one we've just harped on, is they all have a sense of mission. These three things right here are deadly for someone that wants to build a brand, because they are the bone structure and the foundation for how you make decisions, how you keep fighting through hard days when you want to quit. And they are the things that push you past the insecurities. Because I'm convinced this, I could teach someone, give all the information in the world, right? But if they're not leveraging these understandings of why they're there and what keeps them in the fire when they want to quit, sort of like standards over feelings, the emotions that steer us the wrong direction, they're going to fold every time. And what I think is the reality is this is probably a better propeller forward for someone's practical nature of building a business than maybe anything. Then we could go into the practical. And the other thing I would add to that, just because it's so on point for me, is if you don't feel good, I'll just say it how it is. So many people are trying to build all these things, right? And I look at them and it's clear their body is telling me the truth about them. They're lying. They're not making good decisions. They're not disciplined at all. They're putting the wrong chemicals in their body that steal from their ability to be effective in the marketplace. If you can't be a physical embodiment of your brand, that's a problem. Now, it doesn't mean you can't succeed, but I wouldn't want to succeed if I didn't feel good. If I wasn't teeming with quality energy, I don't know if it would even matter if I was rich and was sick and didn't feel good every day. And so many times I see people, they're in a disalignment with their health. So I just point it out all the time. You want to build a great brand, make you the brand first that you cure all the way. And that's like, can you live a life that is so disciplined and so structured that it actually gives you the greatest freedoms that the rarest people in life only get to exist in? This freedom of like being able to team with energy. I mean, even for me, like it was coming to this harsh reality of like, is alcohol even something? Where was I indoctrinated with some of these decisions I bring in, thinking that makes me happy or that makes me feel good? And I realized, like, why do I look like shit after three drinks? Like my eyes are swollen, I'm inflamed, the toxins in my organs are spewing out. The only reason I bring this up, because it seems off point to brand. You want to be a dialed in human that has an effective approach to building anything, really anything, including brand or business. Most people neglect this. And if they got that right first, they would be 10 times more effective here, 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 and here. And no one coaches on this, I feel like. People don't talk about the connection between endorphins and money in the marketplace. Actually, endorphins and courage to go create courageous actions. That's what moves the needle. And it's that courage that I tap into 24/7, like every day, 24 hours a day. I tap into as long of a flow state as I can get. And it always starts from endorphins. Somewhere in that day, I connect to endorphins. And that's where I do all the scary things. I make all the hard decisions. I make all the phone calls. I have the greatest ideas that I can put into the marketplace. Like, people want to know what's the secret, how to be effective. Find your courage every day and then go do hard things. And the courage for me comes from leveraging the endorphins that spark the ideas when I am in a flow state working out and I'm in the gym and I'm taxing my central nervous system. I love slipping this in if I have an opportunity to, even though we're talking about marketing and brand and storytelling.
You want, Eric.
Yeah, but I did have a story too, if you have a minute.
That
I think would be great for your audience, because it's probably one of the most powerful stories I've ever witnessed. And I was lucky enough to witness it firsthand. So if you're up for it, if we have time, I would love to slip it in, because I think for a female audience, particularly for a female audience, this will resonate in some really profound ways.
Please, this is your stage.
Okay. So I started doing this work with Man on a Mission, and it brought me naturally. I attract all kinds of amazing people. I feel like ever since I started doing this, I literally have not had any toxicity around me. Like it's like a bubble of people that are ready to show up and work. They're ready to show up and tell the truth, and they're ready to show up and reveal the rackets that they've been running their whole lives in some cases. And I had this woman, and I knew her name. She was pretty well known around town. Beautiful woman with blue eyes, like dark features, very sexy girl. Let's just call it how it is. And she's beautiful. Like, okay, so here's this girl her whole life. She had some very wealthy ex-husbands. So she had a strong, powerful last name. In fact, her last husband was one of the most powerful people in town, a very strong last name, right? This guy was kind of a titan in the industry he served in this local community. So this girl comes in. And it's clear when I started working with her how broken she actually was. But nobody knew this. Nobody in the whole world really knew how broken she was until I got beneath the hood just a little bit. Now, I'll have one quick disclaimer in this. This story has been revealed to the whole world many times over. So I'm proud to tell it. I'm proud that I was part of it. And the second disclaimer is I am not a hero in this story. I am merely a light. She's the hero, number one. Number two, if there is a second hero in it, it is the light itself. Call it God if you want. I just think it's an important disclaimer here, especially when you're doing some of this deep work with people. But this was very hard work to do. And I am not a therapist. I help people perform better. I help people slay dragons, do scary things. I help people make money. I help people build a body they can be proud of and become a parent, a father or a mother they're proud of. Like, I help you win in life. But you know, some of this deep work, I just go with my instincts. But I really want to be clear on this. So this girl comes to me, and as you start peeling back the unique layers to her, you realize everything about her is a facade. She had to live this perfect life and be perfect for all these powerful men. She had to live this glamorous lifestyle with the right purse and the right lip size and the right breast size and all the things, right? She's very beautiful. Like she always presented herself as that way into the marketplace. And, you know, the big diamonds and the jewelry and the Rolexes, the solid gold Rolex, like the whole nine. It just keeps going and going. And, you know, the pressure that a woman like that feels, sometimes you think she has it so good and you don't realize until you get beneath the hood that she is literally dying inside, almost suicidal, like almost to a point when she can't handle more. You don't know how bad someone's reality is. Just because they have nice things does not mean they're happy.
Yeah.
And when I got beneath the hood of this girl, her last marriage had fallen apart. She had kids with three different men and they're all powerful men. She just seemed to attract strong men that didn't necessarily treat her the best. Okay. In many cases, everything she knew about what a high value man was probably actually wrong based on how she was treated. But it's interesting. Like, you know, you get into this cycle and this trap, you don't know your value, you don't know your worth. And it's very easy to sort of be manipulated through life by narcissism. And there's so many cool things to talk about on this subject, by the way, for women. But what she did was try to be loved by looking a certain way. Now, as you age as a woman, the clock's on, the pressure's on, you know, you lose that window starts disappearing and your self-worth is so connected to how you look and status and all these things, it puts a lot of pressure on a woman, right? Yeah. Well, she started getting really sick. And after 2 years of battling an odd sickness that no one could really figure out, it really got bad in year two. I think it was year two, year one and a half, if you will. But she ended up finally finding a doctor that was able to source where she was sick and why she was so sick. And it was breast implant poisoning. She literally had breast implant poisoning. It was killing her in real time. It had caused all these problems in her, massive inflammation everywhere. She was miserable right at the time her marriage is failing. And she's hanging out with all the wrong people, partiers, drinkers, people that are just dragging her down this world. And then she gets this catastrophic divorce. Now, by all outward appearances, nobody knows she's broken because she is still somehow holding it together. Wow. She gets the breast implants removed. She heals herself. She's on her healing journey now. But in that divorce, it led her to some of the most toxic environments and relationships she's ever been in. And she started like Jack and Jill tumbling down the hill. There she fell. And that's about when I found her. But it still looked good from the outside. I would have never known that under the hood is someone that's this close to breaking. My only instinct when I started getting near the truth, and this is just what my instinct was, it could have been right or wrong, was somehow I realized the only way to heal her was to get her into the light. She had to go tell her the truth to the world. Wow. That was my only instinct that I had, is somehow I have to be a guiding force and help lead her to the light. Just like I went to the light, which I think healed me, that scary dragon we were all so afraid of. So what I did through Man on a Mission, we started working her all the way to her greatest power, which is vulnerable in the light, in the arena, on stage, in front of the whole world to see. And somehow I knew if we could work her way there, we'd figure the rest out. I just knew it. I don't know how I knew it, but I knew that that was the secret sauce that this girl needed, this particular girl. So we start this process of, she's going to tell this truth. She's going to go out to the barbarians and bare her soul. Now, during this time, she had some money. Okay. She's well off. She started a company where she sells hormones, you know, where she helps telehealth, helps people who are not feeling good, who are going through issues like she used to have, you know, cause she'd healed herself physically. You know, she was on now the spiritual and mental journey of health, but she physically healed herself. And that inspiration led her to wanting to do telemedicine to make access for more women with their thyroid issues or all the things, right? Wow. Vitamin deficiencies. So she starts this company. And this is the part that I love, is she's got this company and she's, you know, she's building a brand, right? Here she is. All this stuff, you're going to see how it gels together so beautifully. So we finally get her to the stage. We create these environments with Man on a Mission where we give people opportunity in our community to do like a TED Talk where there's a whole audience. We record it. We film it. It's your chance to shine. And it's really professional. It's on stage. It's a beautiful backdrop. It's on Lake Coeur d'Alene. It's all the glitz and the glamour. It's your moment. We encourage people to do that are part of our community. Step in the light. Tell your story. Proclaim like the thing that is going to set your soul free. Speak to that little girl that's inside you. And as I coached her up to that point, she'd have breakdowns where she can't do it. She's ripping her speech up. She goes, "Eric, I can't do it." And the whole time I knew what she was doing. She's making this speech so every word is perfect, so everyone sees her the way she wants them to be seen. Even on the bad stuff. Can I project the bad stuff in a way that doesn't make me look too bad, but maybe it'll make people feel sorry for me? What a racket, right? Wow. It's okay though. She works her way to the stage. And somehow I knew it was going to happen. There was going to be a magical moment. But that morning she calls me. She goes, "Eric, I can't do it." She's crying. She's in tears. I say, "Just go to the gym." Every time someone's in an emotional state, I say, "Go get endorphins and then we'll make decisions and talk." So she goes to the gym that morning. Before the morning of her speech, she calls me. She goes, "I feel better." I was like, "I know you do. You feel better. You are going to slay. You have to do this, Brittany. Like, this is the way to get your freedom back." And she's never told her story before. She's never told her story ever to anybody. So she goes to the stage. I'm sitting in the audience and I'm watching her. I'm so proud that she's up there. I can see she's shaking, like shaking bad. She starts with this speech. And the second she starts, I go, "I'm just not impressed." But then it happened. Like the moment finally happened, she takes this deep breath and she goes, "I can't do this." And she like breaks down crying. She rips it up. She throws it in the trash and she proceeds to pour her heart out about all the shit she's been through, all the lies she told, all the manipulation she was part of, all the abuse she had was profound, all the toxic behavior she leaned on and the alcohol and the trying to be perfect for everyone. She laid the whole thing out. What I saw happening right in front of me, like, this is so profound. This is so good for your audience to hear this story. What I saw happening in front of me was her realizing, as she revealed the racket to this audience, feeling like she was slowly undressing in front of everyone. Like she's standing there naked in front of all the barbarians. That's what she felt like in that moment. Super vulnerable, very scary, just very not fun. No one wants to be naked on stage in front of the light. Nobody. And I know that's what it felt like to her. I could see it in her eyes. She was so scared, but she was doing it anyway.
Yeah.
But she didn't realize what we were seeing. What we were seeing was a woman that was revealing this racket. And as that fell, her power was rising. Her voice was becoming very powerful, very truthful. And what I saw in the audience was a woman that could sell billions of dollars in products to women all around the world that feel the same fucking way that she does. I saw a titan. I saw someone that was no longer shackled and had new standards for how she was going to be treated in life. And it was all because she had the courage to tell her story. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. This woman is on a tear. She is building a brand. She's on camera every day now. She had never been on camera before that. She's built an empire around her message, her mission, and her voice, and her truth. And that was one of the most profound stories I've ever found. Now, what's cool is I've been in contact with maybe 10 of these situations that are just this good almost. Women that I don't know why it seems to be women in most cases, but not just women, men also, but some of the most profound women I've ever met, some of the best stories I've ever heard that nobody's ever heard, I got to hear. And I've watched these women rise to power because of the light, because of their story, as you would say, because of the truth. The power in that is so transformational. I watched a young kid, just one last, it's not the whole story, but he was accused of rape at 15. He was accused of rape and he faced life in prison and he was convicted. Dear friend of mine, he you know, in his 30s, he's now out of prison.
Jesus.
He went through all the things. He's very successful now. He's got a daughter. He got out, but he was convicted at 15, wrongly convicted of rape, by the way. Very unique case, a lot there. He's forgiven everything. But hearing that story, I had known him years and I never knew the story. He never told me. And he's building this real estate empire, this young, ambitious, good-looking kid, too good-looking. Like, you should see him. Like, he's so good-looking. And he has so much charisma. He's got a great voice. He's never told his story because he's been so afraid of what people are going to think. I was like, brother, you want to build a billion-dollar fucking brand? Go tell your story. You know how many kids out there need you to step up to the plate? They need to hear from you. People don't get where the money's at in life. It's right here.
I honestly think and really fucking just want to say thank you, because that's what a lot of women are afraid to do. It's the judgment comparison. But if you can just – and thank you. That was amazing. Never apologize. Everyone listening, like, if you can just take away from that one beautiful, magical moment that Eric shared, it's own your story, regardless of how tragic or crazy or obscene, whatever it is, because that's what's going to be your point of difference. And your truth is your truth. And that's how you build authenticity.
Yeah, so good. I love that you brought up storytelling. And it's funny, I have 100 things that I could say, but I had to give you a couple of these things that, for me, they transform me. It's one thing to do it, but it's so much cooler to watch other people do it. And maybe because they were inspired by the seed that you planted. Mm. What a gift to be able to be a teacher in life, a giver away of great energy. And this is how we fight evil. My opinion is the butterfly effect of the work you're doing and the work I'm doing is what keeps the world going around. This is how we fight evil. You want to go fight it? Then don't be mad at Fox News on the TV. Get off your ass and go do something. Go help somebody. So many people just talk. They blab their mouth. They're complaining about politics or what they don't like. They're not controlling their own ecosystem, their own environment, their own economy. And I'm like, no, you can do something. You could go help one person today, two people, three people. The butterfly effect of even three people may be thousands. What if it's millions? What if you inspire Eric Rock that goes on to the biggest stages in the world and literally grips people the way Ed Milet and Tony Robbins did? What if I inspire that in some next kid in the next generation? Like, you need people like this to keep the world going around. And that's what I realized, this whole concept of I see something in society I don't like and I'm gonna turn my cheek. No, say something, stand up and say something, like do something. Like when good men do nothing, society starts to crumble. And I'm convinced that that's probably deep down in me, something I started noticing as men seem to be becoming weaker. They're playing the wrong roles. This whole thing's weird. I just wanna step up for truth and find my voice and power so that I can help fight the things that I think are hurting children. Like, to me, that is the most harmonious way in my life to create fulfillment. And what it's done is it's not brought me to trauma in a way that I can't handle it. It's brought me to love in the way that I can handle it. Like, love is one of the most powerful emotions to be near, really be near it. And that's what it's brought me to. Like, what a gift all this is. Like, there's no toxicness about going after impact. Or you think, oh, I'm going to, instead of being mad at the TV, taking that frustration out, I'm going to go help people. Like, it brings you to love. And it's almost like you forget that all these people that are arguing all the time, like, what, they're just wasting their time. It's all for show. It's like, what a racket they're running too. You know what I mean? Kind of. I don't know.
Yep. No, I get it. I get it. I found a post recently, but it was what I posted 10 years ago. And it was just what you said before. And it was me saying and expressing my story about me being homeless. I posted it 10 years ago and it popped up in Facebook memories. And it just goes to show the difference of me 10 years ago versus now was there was still pain there. Yet what's been changed, it's not about talking about my story about me and validation. It's here to share my story to impact and help other people. So I just want to end that on that note, because when you make it about others and to be on mission to serve, that's when the magic starts to happen. Eric, before we finish off, I always finish this episode with this one question. And that is, if you were to give the key to the beautiful listeners, that one piece of advice, which you've dropped so many truth, amazing advice, that one key to finish off this amazing episode, what would that be?
Well, I think in spirit of everything I said, and in connection with the thing that I have a lot of clarity on now, I was on stage in Mexico this last week and it hit me. It was this odd moment that hit me. I was about to start talking. I had this Batter's Box song that came on. It was Dead and Gone by T.I. And I was about to start talking about this song. I was like, man, there's been so many old versions of me that I've murdered, that I've killed. Like, what a great song to play for me to walk out, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was about to sort of like just break the ice with something. I never say the same speech twice. I've never done the same thing, even close twice. It's always from the heart. I always go weird rabbit holes. It's just the way I speak. And it hit me in this moment. It was so dead silent when the music stopped. And I felt like everyone was holding their breath. And I'm sitting there staring at all these people. I'm just kind of going, and I work my eyes through everyone. I'm so powerful on stage now, even though I'm really afraid. I'm very scared on stage. I always have and always will. I just know how to live in it now. I know how to own the fear.
Yeah.
And it takes me a while to flip the adrenaline around. So I have this moment. I'm walking through all these eyes with my eyes. And I feel a pen drop in the back of the room. It's like something fell. And it kind of felt like a shockwave of energy hit my heart. Through that pen dropping, that's how silent and powerful the energy in that room was, that even a slight disruption felt like a little earthquake. Wow. And it was in that moment when it became clear, right in that moment, oh my, and I said it, it just came out. It was such a harsh truth. I said, what an unfair advantage I have over all of you. And I just let it sit. And I just kept walking and staring at them. And they're digesting this harsh truth that I have this unique, unfair advantage over all of you right now. And it's because I built a life in the light. And it was just this profound moment of realizing, like, man, you know how many people are never going to do this? They're never going to do it. 99.99% of people are never going to have the courage to do this type of work. And if you can do this type of work, it is such a life hack. It is such a gateway to a different version of you. It's such a unique level of accountability that sits on your soul. It's so taxing to how you operate your life, because now you have the burden of being all talk and no action. You have all these eyeballs watching you. And that fear alone is what paralyzes so many people. But it's that fear that I'm willing to step into that gives me this insanely unfair advantage over you. As long as I don't quit, as long as I'm willing to do this for the rest of my life with heart, soul, and conviction, and I'm willing to bleed in every room I walk into and I really care, like, these are the secret sauces to making that make sense. Because getting in front of people doesn't do anything if there's not the right sauce behind it. But it's that unfair advantage that I realized in that moment, and it all clicked. I just flashed through all the greatest leaders that have ever been on the world, Mother Teresa, all the way, every person who's left an impact on the world, all of them were in the light. Every single one of them served, and they built an empire around it. Every one of them, whether you're a celebrity, an athlete, entertainer, whatever you do, whatever arena that you serve on, you are in the arena, the spotlight's on you, and there's all the critics. There they are. And you need the critics. They're part of the algorithm. And that algorithm has nothing to do with social media. It has been around since the beginning of freedom. Wherever freedom has existed, where you can pursue something and start from nowhere, you could be homeless, and you could go all the way to being a powerful woman that impacts the world in countless ways. Wherever that existed, there is an algorithm, and you have to learn how to break it. And it's in that moment I realized this is how you break it. You commit your life to this. This is not about like a goal. This is identity. I'm going to do this till I die. I'm never going to be afraid. And my gift to you guys is mission is the gateway to do it. Because if I know I'm talking to Eric Rock when I was a little kid, Eric Rock when I was 12, 16, 17, 18, 21, 22, that's all I need to believe that there's one kid out there that needs to hear my story. It's enough to put me in the light for the rest of my life and build a whole brand around it. That is sort of the connection to that moment that I had, but it is a massive unfair advantage.
Thank you. Honestly, thank you. It's just made me realize more and more that I'm doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing.
100%.
Seriously, you're an absolute superhero. You're a king, and I really appreciate you being here for myself and for the queens listening. This is Keys to the Queendom. Make sure you guys follow Eric Rock. He is an absolute legend, man on a mission. Thank you so much for being here, legend.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. And can I get something for my audience too?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to smile.
That's
here.
Great.
I have to. Aww. It's part of the deal. When you commit, you got to get it every time. Thank you so much. You're an angel. And however I can serve you from now in the future, I love to commit to people that my heart speaks to. You speak to my heart. I speak to your heart. Like, we could build this together. Part of the other thing, that, just to slip this in there, is the power of collaboration has been a game changer in my life. Like, you don't need to do it alone. Like, so many people want to help you, and dig into that. You guys, whoever's listening, learn how to collab. People are so like, there's a freeze into this, like go serve someone else, be in someone else's pocket, like bleed into things, and magic will, and energy will start swarming around you.
And let me know how I can support you. I'm very big on supporting as much as I can. And I think it's also 100%. Important to get permission to receive too. A lot of people still hold back when it comes to people offering to help. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. You're the best.
That was fun.
It was so much fun. The more that we decide to really step into this version of ourselves with our content, with our brand, with showing up, that's when the moves start to happen. When it comes to content mastery, and you are new to this game, you know, you are new to obviously building your presence online, and maybe right now you don't want to think about the micro topics, who you're speaking to, the ideal clients. Start with collaboration. And I think it's really important that you make that decision, that certainty, to start thinking about how can I start being seen in front of different people each and every day. So the first piece to content mastery is being able to make those decisions to collaborate, to speak to someone new.
One of the reasons why I wanted to work with you was because I love that you have a community and you bring everyone together.
I have learned all about how to tell a story, what are the main components of a story. It's so helpful for brand improvement.
A highlight for me today has been being around such awesome, like-minded people and actually figuring out what I think my brand is and what I want to do.
But at the end of the day, if you're just true to who you are and focus on who you were as a younger self, it brings in those types of people that are just like, yes, I want to work with you.